I absolutely love the passage that you chose to read there, Jim. That was a beautiful introduction. And we are blessed and privileged to have in our presence the Lord Jesus, because without his mercy, none of us would be here. How many of you have ever been to the beach? Yeah, beach is a nice place, isn't it? It's calm. I mean, I'm talking about the beach when there's not a whole lot of the people there. You know, you go find a private beach somewhere, the weather's so nice, it's just calm, it's comfortable. You can just stay there for a long time, right? Anybody ever been deep sea fishing? Okay? How'd it go? So, same ocean. I mean, on the beach, you're standing there, you're looking out at the ocean, it's awesome, isn't it? You know, whether the waves are calm or even with the big waves, it just speaks of the power of God. But you go out on that water like that in that boat, and it, you know, kind of, you know how it goes, and it doesn't get as comfortable. All right, well, I want to tell you a story to start out here that kind of takes you another step farther. Jim mentioned that I spent some time in the Navy, a little bit of time, 25 years. During that 25 years, I believe the year was 1986, I was on a Navy ship, a small Navy ship, 172 feet, made out of wood, so it kind of floated real good. And we were on our way back from somewhere heading for Jacksonville, Florida. And it was the middle of the night, it was 2 o'clock in the morning. And I was on the bridge, on the place up there where the captain sits, and all the windows you can see outside, except we didn't see anything because it was dark. And it was very stormy. So it truly was a dark and stormy night. And so the ship was going up and down. And that's not a bad thing, because what you want to do in a storm is you want to keep the pointy end of the ship facing into the waves. You want to face the storm and continue going up and down like that, as long as you've got power moving you forward. I hope you're picking up the spiritual connotations here. This is a true story. Well, we were doing okay. None of us were very comfortable in that storm, because every once in a while one of those waves would come over the whole top of the ship. That's how bad it was. All of a sudden we heard a noise that was very disconcerting, and that noise was silence. Well, we still heard the storm, but what I'm saying is the engines quit on that ship. 2 o'clock in the morning in a bad storm. And so what happens when you don't continue moving forward with power is you're at the mercy of the storm. And so the ship started turning sideways. So now instead of going up and down, we started going side to side, which is okay for a couple of minutes, but each time you go to the side, it goes a little bit farther to the side. And on the bridge, there's a gauge there called an inclinometer that tells you how many degrees to the side you're going. And if you get to that red line, which is somewhere around 45 degrees, well, the ship goes that far and keeps on going. So there were men on that ship that night praying that maybe had not prayed ever in their lives. In fact, one of the senior people on the ship panicked and started yelling, "We're all going to die." So, you know, when you're on that deep sea fishing boat and you're feeling uncomfortable, you still feel like you've got a little bit of control over things, right? You're not at your wit's end. You're not desperate. But you get into a storm like this, and what do you have to hang on to? You're helpless. You're desperate. So there we were, going back and forth, side to side, and we all kept looking at that inclinometer. So I do want to greet you tonight in Jesus' name, and welcome you here. Thank you for having me. But what am I here to talk about? I don't want to talk about myself. All right. I guess what we're talking about tonight is my life story. Is my life story any different than your life story? Well, some of the details may be, but we all started in the same place, didn't we? We all started, we were born, and we had a clean slate, and we just kind of went from there, gaining experience and living our lives. And now here we are tonight. Lots of different ages here, but we're all sitting here in this building together tonight. So we had a starting point, and we're at this point in the journey together, and it's just kind of the details in between. So really, any one of you could come up here and take over, and we'd be just as blessed as you relate what God has done for you in your life. So there's nothing special about me. The specialness is the Lord Jesus. That's the special thing. So that's what I want you to hear tonight. I want you to hear about the Lord Jesus, what he's done in my life. Why do we do this? Why do we give testimony? Why do we share what God has done in our lives? It's to encourage one another. You know, we are in a warfare. In Revelation chapter 12, it talks about those that overcame him. Overcame who? Overcame the enemy. We're in a warfare. By what? By the blood of the Lamb and what else? You can say it. The word of their testimony. That's right. So this is like a battle tonight. This is like we're gathering together and we're doing battle. So join with me in the battle tonight as we give testimony to the Lord Jesus and knock the devil down a few more rungs. Okay? So we're joining in the battle tonight together. Experiences. God's protection, God's guiding hand in my life. I could tell you a lot of stories. I could tell you about summer jobs I had when I was growing up. I could tell you about some strange interactions with some strange animals that some of my students have heard about already. But, there's just too many stories to tell. But life, what is life anyway? Life is just a series of experiences. Life is a series of ups and downs, kind of like in that ship, of successes, of failures, joys and sorrows. Those of you that are older, isn't that true? Isn't life just experiences of joys and sorrows, successes, failures, ups and downs? That's kind of what it's like. Some of you young ones have experienced real life. Some of the hard things, some of the painful things in real life. But real life happens. And so we want to talk about that. We're going to talk about ups and downs. Speaking of ups and downs, I kind of left you hanging there with the ship going side to side. So there we were going side to side, and we were watching 36 degrees, 39 degrees, 41 degrees. A sound, a very welcome sound. The engines came back on. I never did find out what happened to the engines, but I'm very thankful for those guys that were down in the bottom of the ship being tossed about, working on those things, and also thankful for the Lord bringing those engines back up. But we were able to turn back and face the storm with power to move forward. And when we face those tragedies, those things in life, that's what we need to do. We need to keep on accessing the power of God to move forward through that storm, through that difficult time. If you have your Bible, I'd like you to open it to Psalm 107. Psalm 107, this is a beautiful psalm, and I'd just like to read a couple of verses here. I'm going to break in. I'll just say this. This psalm, there's a couple of phrases that are repeated several times in this psalm. One is, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. That's repeated several times. So we want to recognize that. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And then right after that, it says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. But I want to break in at verse 23. It says there, they that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. And I'll tell you, that's the place where I saw the awesome power of God, is in the ocean. These verses mean a whole lot to me. They see the works of the Lord for his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to heaven. That's what we were doing. They go down again to the depths. Their soul was melted because of trouble. That's what we experienced. But this is an illustration of what we face in life. I experienced this in reality, literally, on the ocean. But we all experience these things in life. We go up and we go down. And we go down. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. And we're going to come back to that in a little while. But I just want you to see that picture. And this is what my life story that I want to communicate to you is that through the difficult times in life, through those times when you're so tempted to give up, so tempted to quit, so tempted to go find something else, there is nothing else. One of the things that I teach in school is history, and I love history. And one of the things that I find in history is that man from the beginning of time has tried over and over and over again different things. And you know what? They've tried the same things too, over and over again, to try to figure out a solution. A solution to what? A solution to anything. A solution to the questions that are in man's heart. A solution to the problems that man faces. But you know what? Every solution, so-called, that man has come up with is not a viable solution. Man has not yet, in all the thousands of years that man has been on this planet, has not come up with a viable plan to solve the ills of the human race. I heard a quote recently that said the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. The heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. And that's true. So what is the answer? The answer, no matter what your question is, I can tell you what the answer is. The answer is Jesus Christ. The answer is Jesus. So what do we do with experiences? That's what our life is made up with, of experience. So experience, it's not so much what happens to us, but I think the value of experience is what we do with what happens to us. So when you experience something, when you go through something, it's what your response is, what you do with that experience, what you do with what you hopefully learn from that experience that will get you through and help you to move on. Oh, let's see. Let me start at the beginning. I grew up in New York State, a very rural type area, not much different from around here. A small town. I think I grew up kind of in a sheltered type environment. I talk about real life. Maybe you don't understand what I mean. Maybe some of you do. Real life. What is real life? Real life are the things that go on, those painful things, those tragedies. I didn't have a whole lot of real life when I was growing up. It was a very nice family. There were five of us children. My father was a school teacher. He taught history too. Hardworking, learned a lot of good things growing up. Learned about honesty and fairness and being kind to each other and hard work and all those good kinds of things, though we were not a church-going family. But I'm very thankful for the things that I learned in my home growing up. But again, nothing really bad ever happened. So I think I was kind of sheltered in that way. So I graduated high school and I didn't really have a vision for the future. Because things just seemed to flow throughout my childhood, I didn't have much of a vision for the future. So what do you do when you graduate high school? Well, what we did was we go to college. So, okay, I'll go to college. I went to college to learn how to be a teacher. I was going to be a phys ed teacher because one of my gods at that time was sports. I was really into sports. And then that can become a god very easily, and it did for me. I didn't stay in college a whole long time because some things happened, and I felt like I was not prepared to commit myself to studies. So now what am I going to do? Well, I asked my father, what should I do? And he suggested that I join the Navy. It's spend 4 years, get out, and go back to college. So that's what I did. I joined the Navy. When I was in boot camp, I got orders to go to Vietnam. Here's God's guiding hand, his protecting hand. Just before I got out of boot camp, my orders got changed. So I wasn't going to Vietnam. Where was I going? I was going to Washington, D.C. Some people may think that's worse than going to Vietnam, but that's where I went. I went to Washington, D.C. But the best thing about going to Washington, D.C. was that's where I met my wife. And so there we met two young people, and we got married, and still I was just kind of floating along, not a whole lot of experience with real life, wondering what do we do next, so just kind of doing what I was told to do and floating along. Well, I don't know, anybody here ever seen an angel? Well, maybe you have and you didn't know. Or maybe, actually, I'm not talking about a real angel. I'm talking about a messenger from God. A messenger. Well, 2 days after our first anniversary, we had our first son. This was in 1975. Our first son was born. And so here we have two children with a child. So what do you do? What do two children with a child do? Well, you learn pretty quick, I guess. And so we did that. We tried to learn pretty quick. We happened to be living in D.C. near my wife's family, so we got a lot of good support from her parents. And so we were pretty happy. Those of you that have had a first child, you know the joy and the happiness and the goals and the hopes for the future that you have with this child. And that's kind of where we were. When he was a month old, he came down with something, thought maybe it was a cold, took him to the doctor, and doctor sent us home with the baby. But within 24 hours, he was in the hospital in a coma. And the doctors were telling our parents that he was not going to survive the night. So now we have two children, two young adults, with a very sick child, one that's not expected to live. So now what do you do? This is real life. Real life has now arrived. Our son did survive that night. He had bacterial meningitis and it caused very severe brain damage. He would live for 10 years. I have to skip a whole lot of details here for the sake of time. He would live for 10 years, but he would never progress past the newborn level of development. In other words, he was just like a newborn baby, only growing in size. He also had a seizure disorder, had lots of seizures every day, was on medication. It was a learning experience. We had to grow up very fast. Well, I say we had to grow up very fast, but did we? Well, experience. The value of an experience is what you do with that experience, right? I have to confess that I failed. I didn't grow up very fast. And I failed in this experience. I failed in meeting the needs of my wife through this experience. Yes, we loved our son. I loved caring for our son. But I failed in my responsibility to my wife. And I kind of withdrew to protect my feelings, to protect my pain. And I threw myself into my work. I threw myself more into sports. And while I was trying to meet those needs, remember I said that people seek all sorts of things to try to find the solution? I was seeking, but I was seeking in the wrong place. I should have been, at that point, I didn't know who God was. But at least I knew my wife. I should have been seeking support from her and giving her my support. Okay? Why do I tell you this? I tell you this because there may come a time that you face a very tragic, a very difficult circumstance in your life, and you need to face that with virtue. You need to face that with Christ-like character and face that with a selflessness, not a selfishness like I faced it, to where you're not just trying to meet your own needs, but you're trying to care for those around you. And maybe I'm not being very clear, but I'm just trying to share my heart here. So this went on for several years. And my wife, God bless her, she was very loyal, very supportive, and did amazing things with our son and in support of me, even in my failure. I want to go back to Psalm 107 here for a minute. I want to repeat to you that it says here, they mount up to heaven, they go down into the depths, their soul is melted because of trouble, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. So that's where so many people find themselves, and that's where I found myself, but I didn't do what the next verse says. And this is the key. Verse 28, and this is the fourth time this is repeated in the psalm. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. Listen, he maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Do you remember when Jesus was sleeping in the boat, and there was a storm, and the disciples, thought they were going to die, they thought they were going to drown, and they woke him up, and he says, Master, don't you care that we're going to die? And Jesus got up, and what did he do? He said, Peace, be still. And what happened? There was calm. Now, I can picture that in that instance, immediately the wind stopped and the waves became calm, and that boat was just floating along, nice and calm, and the disciples felt rest. They felt safe, didn't they? What I want to suggest to you, and some of you know what I'm talking about, is that even in the midst of the storm, when Jesus stood up and said, Peace, be still, even if the wind had continued blowing at gale force and the waves had still been coming over the sides of the ship, of the boat there, when Jesus says, Peace, be still, and assures us of his secure arms around us, we can find that rest and the calm, even though the waves and the wind are still boiling around us. Do you believe that? Well, over the course of time, my wife, she did just what that verse said. She sought the Lord. She sought the Lord. And God is true to his promises. If you will seek me with your whole heart, you will find me. God doesn't hide from people that are seeking him, honestly. God wants to be found. He wants to be found. And so she found the Lord. And there was a transformation. And 1 Peter talks about the wife winning the husband without a word, by an example, a godly example. And so that's how God started to get through this hard thing up here and this hard thing in here, by her example. And in the course of time, well, I'm jumping ahead a little bit. During that time, we had two more sons. And then in 1985, at the age of 10 years old, our son, he was in the hospital at the time. He had been in the hospital for quite a while. And we were planning to go visit him the next day, and the phone rings about midnight. And on the other end of the phone was a nurse. It was a nurse that was caring for our son. And she was calling us, and she said, I just wanted you to be on the phone, because your son is going to leave us any minute, and I want you to be on the phone when that happens, because we were a couple of hours away. We couldn't get there. And that was a very special thing. A very special thing for her to do and to be on the phone. And she was just telling about, you know, how he was doing, how he looked, and when he took his last breath. It's just another one of those things that, you know, God can give the grace and the peace to endure the death of a child, the death of a parent, the death of a spouse. That's real life. We all go through these things. We need to make sure when we go through them that we're holding on to the one that can carry us through them. You know, life looks so long when you're looking out ahead of you. I remember when I was a teenager, I was like, life was like, wow. It's like the ocean. You can't see the other side. It's just so big, so long. I'll tell you now, at 62 years old, it doesn't look that long anymore. Somebody once said that the first 20 years of your life is the longest half of your life. Did you get that? 20 years, it seems like so long, but then after that, it's going, it zooms on by. But, you know, if we think about it in terms of eternity, somebody else once said, life is just a childhood of our eternity. So we're all just children. And one day we're gonna mature, and we're gonna be on the other side in glory, Lord willing, and then we're going to enjoy our maturity with Christ. So the Navy was very good to us in that they kept me on shore duty until our son died, which normally in the Navy I would have been out to sea by that time. But I was in for 12 years before I ever saw a ship. And so as soon as he died, I mean, they weren't being mean or anything, but it's just I was in the Navy. And so I had to go to sea. So that created some more problems. You know, a very, very immature Christian. And then going through some things. It was kind of stormy for a while there. After I got off the ship, we got transferred to Tampa, Florida. And Tampa is when we started to, or when I started, I should say, that I started to recognize Christian people and started to recognize the support and the encouragement that Christian people can be for us in our lives. You know, we have the Lord Jesus that we need to hold on to. He is our rock. He is our anchor. He is, you know, the hope that we have in Christ Jesus is our anchor, steadfast and sure. But he gives us brothers and sisters also to be a support and an encouragement. And I began to see the value of Christian brothers and sisters. We were attending Baptist churches at the time. And that's where we began homeschooling. Our other two sons that were now school age, they had been to public school, church school for a couple years, but I guess when we started homeschooling, they were what, fourth grade and third grade? Is that right? So we started homeschooling. Then we got transferred to Pennsylvania, back up north where it's a little more familiar. And we were in Pennsylvania at the Willow Grove Naval Air Station just north of Philadelphia. And this begins a whole new journey. We started attending a homeschool group there. And we met our first real live Mennonite. Had heard that there are those kind of people somewhere in the world, but had never met one. But here we met Mennonites. Some of you may know them, Larry and Linda Berge in Lansdale. That was the first Mennonite family we ever met. First Mennonite church we ever visited. So they're very precious to us. They were in charge of the homeschool group. So we got to know them very well. And so think about this. Think about, there are Larry Berge, and here's this guy that comes in there wearing a military jacket, all right, with a mustache, and you know, just kind of the whole attitude. You know, I was all American, the American dream, sports, you know, all this stuff, and kind of rough around the edges. And how did Larry treat me? How did Larry treat me so as not to drive me away? He treated me with love and patience, understanding, with mercy. with all those Christ-like character traits that draws us to Christ. And so I'm very thankful as I look back, very thankful for that. And so that began a journey. And I will tell you that probably the two things that were the most difficult things for me to grasp hold of, there being in the military, coming from my background, patriotism, all those things, was non-resistance and the two-kingdom principle. Coming from where I was coming from, that made no sense whatsoever. Totally new thought. Non-resistance. That's a whole nother subject. So how does a military guy deal with non-resistance? I'd like to tell you that story sometime. We don't have time to go into all that. But, you know, what did Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount? He said, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that despitefully use you. What does that mean? Does that apply? What does that apply to? It applies to everything. How can we go into the military and go fight against human beings that have a soul that Jesus died for? That's not loving your enemy. Anyway, it goes on and on and on from there. The two kingdom principle. That's another one. I'll tell you, there was a turning point, though, for me. We got transferred out of Pennsylvania down to Jacksonville, Florida again. And we couldn't find a good plain church down there. So we started attending another Baptist church. And one morning, I went into a front room there before the service started, and I went in there to pray. And I knelt down before God and I said, Lord, I don't understand. You know, I'm hearing these things. We were getting tapes from charity, listening to sermons. So we're getting this Anabaptist teaching, and I was studying my Bible. And here we are in a Baptist church with familiar things. And I just said, Lord, would you show me something this morning that will make a difference? Something that'll, I don't know, take me the next step. And so I went and I sat down. I was sitting right about over there. And the preacher got up and he started preaching. He said, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. All right, that was a familiar passage, 11, 28 to 30. And so he started reading this passage, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And he kept on going, but I stayed right there. I said, whoa, wait a minute. I don't think I heard another word he said, because God was now speaking to me. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Learn of me, Jesus said, I am meek and lowly in heart. Humility, pride. Where do I fall in this? Well, if I have to be honest, I'm an extremely proud person. Lots of pride. Lots of self-preservation, self-defense, self-this, self-that, self-the-other thing. All about self. And yet Jesus says, I am meek and lowly in heart. The King of kings and the Lord of lords. The Savior of the world, the Creator of the world, is meek and lowly in heart. I went home and opened my Bible and I spent the afternoon looking for humility, looking for pride in the Scripture. I shared this one other time this past year and I made the statement in the congregation. I said, I think I spent the next 3 months looking at this pride and humility thing in the Bible. And afterwards, one of my sons came and says, Dad, no, it wasn't 3 months. It was about a year. Looking in the Bible at this humility issue. Do you know that it's everywhere? That is the foundation of the battle that we're in. That is the foundation. The devil is all about pride. It's all about rebellion. It's all about having things his way. And Jesus said, I'm meek and lowly in heart. Jesus said, I do always those things that please my Father. Jesus said, esteem others better than yourselves. Jesus said, let this mind be in you, or Paul said that, but talking about Jesus, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself in the form of a servant, fashioned as a man, and became obedient unto death. He humbled himself, even the death of the cross. For who? For proud me. Pride and humility. I'm still working on that. I'm still way too proud. But God answered my prayer, and he gave me another step to take. His word is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. If we take that step, the light is going to shine on the next step, isn't it? Haven't you found it that way? As we continue walking with him. Oh, the time is getting away. Too many stories. I got out of the Navy in 1997, after 25 years. We moved to Georgia. Georgia, why Georgia? Oh, Lord. I'm a Yankee, I'm a Northerner. Why Georgia? Well, he said Georgia, so I said, okay, Lord, Georgia. So we went to Georgia and had to learn, almost learn another language down there. But started attending church, and things went well. It was a blessing for several years. And then things, well, the fleshly part of me would tell you things stopped being a blessing because there were very severe church problems. And it got so bad that the church split and we tried to move out of the area. And for 2 years, we had our house on the market and tried to move out of the area. But God was saying, I'm still trying to bless you. You still have things to learn here. I want you to stay. All right, so we went to another church in the area and we tried to settle in there. Our pastor last week said something in a message that really touched me. And I'm not sure that he understood how it was going to impact me. But maybe if I tell it to you, maybe some of you have been to a place kind of like where I was, and this will touch you. He told a little story about a father. He said a grandfather, but I'm going to change it to a father to make it a little more parallel to God as our father. This father comes to his little child and says, son, would you like to go with me today? And the son says to the father, where are we going, Daddy? And the father says to the son, if you want to go with me, it doesn't matter where we're going. I thank God because it's only his mercy and his grace that through that time, there were many times that in my flesh, I was ready to quit. Not give up on God, but give up on these people and go to some place that was more familiar, more comfortable for me. But God was saying, if you want to stay with me, you'll go where I'm taking you. I didn't think about it in those terms then, but since last week, it's become more clear. But I did want to stay where God was. And so he led us through that. And he led us through that in such a way, and again, only by his mercy, that he was able to teach us things. And we come through that on the other side of that storm and look back, being glad to be through the storm, but looking at the things that God was trying to teach us and the things that he was shaping us and burning out the dross in the furnace to bring forth gold tried in the fire for his glory. And again, this is in no way shining any credit on me at all. It's only his mercy and his keeping power and faith in him. Again, in Psalm 107. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. This is a promise. This is a promise. You know, in the scripture, every promise is connected with a commandment. And every commandment is connected to a promise. Check that out. If I'm wrong, call me up and tell me what you found. But every promise that I found is connected to a commandment, and vice versa. He maketh the storm calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Even in the middle of the storm, you can have rest in your soul. And then verse 31. Again, for the fourth time in this psalm, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. You know, Jonah made his choice, didn't he? Jonah ran away from God, and he found himself in a bad place. Just so happens to be out in the middle of the ocean, in a storm, on a ship. And he got thrown overboard and swallowed by a fish. You know that story, children, right? Jonah got thrown overboard and swallowed by a fish. You know what? That really happened. He really did get swallowed by a fish. And when he was there, Jonah says, I cried by reason of mine affliction, and the Lord heard me. Has your life been just like you're on that beach with a gentle breeze blowing, looking out at the waves, the palm tree, maybe a nice cold drink? Has that been your life? If that's been your whole life, I feel sorry for you. Somebody once said, the greatest affliction is to never have been afflicted. If we would spend our whole life, and I know that nobody's whole life has been like that, if you've lived long enough. If that was the case, if we went through life and everything happened just the way we wanted it to happen, and was comfortable, and we never got pushed, never got strained, never got stressed, we'd be some of the weakest, sorriest people. That's not how you grow. That's not how you build muscles. That's not how you build character. Character is built through the trials, through the difficulties, through the tribulations. I cried by reason of mine affliction. It is good for me that I've been afflicted. Who said that? David? It is good for me that I've been afflicted. It is good for me that I've been afflicted. Would I go back and choose any of those afflictions again? Probably not. But I'm thankful for them. So as I look back, I see the pain that I've endured in my life. But I don't want to dwell on that, because I'm thankful for what God has done. What I'm really sorry for is the pain that I've inflicted, especially on my wife and on many, many other people, the pain that I've caused other people. I just trust God to use those things also. I've seen my wife come forth as gold, as tried in a fire, and I'm very thankful to God for that. You know, I'm just now reminded of something else that Jesus said. He loves much who has been forgiven much. He loves much who has been forgiven much. So if you go through your life and there's just not many waves, not many ripples, no storms, and things are just kind of easy, and you come to the Lord and say, well, Lord, I don't really know what to repent of, but I believe you, and you know, I want to serve you. And I wonder how deep of a love will be produced from a life like that. But if we actually recognize, and this is where all of us need to be, we realize how sinful we really are, how much we really need to be forgiven, how much we really need the blood of Christ. And we think about that. Here is God himself, the Son of God, the Savior, the Creator of the world, our Creator, giving himself and dying an agonizing, cruel, humiliating death on the cross because I have sinned. I have much to be forgiven for. And if I come to him and confess my sins and receive his forgiveness, that should produce a very deep love for him. A very deep love. Thomas Paine, who some of you took U.S. history last year and world history last year, and we talked about Thomas Paine. I won't, no quizzes. Thomas Paine was, he wrote the booklet Common Sense, which incited a lot of the patriots to seek independence. Well, he said a few other things too. He said, these are the times that try men's souls. Have you ever been in a time that tried your soul? I think we all have. He said this. He said, what we obtain too cheaply, we esteem too lightly. What we obtain too cheaply, we esteem too lightly. So there again, that speaks to me of going through hard times and crying out to God and depending on him to get us through that, these difficult things. He also said, the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. The harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. So my point, especially to the young people, the youth, as you look ahead to life, okay? It wasn't too many years ago. I like to say that I'm not old, I've just been young for a very, very long time, okay? So, as you look ahead toward life, even though it may look like it's just wide open, it's gonna go on forever, there's a day coming, and it'll be different for all of you, but there's a day coming in one form or another that real life is gonna hit. What are you going to do when real life hits? Where are you going to turn? Who are you going to turn to? Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. That's the commandment. Cry unto the Lord in your trouble. And here's the promise. And he bringeth them out of their distresses. He bringeth them out of their distresses. I could tell you a lot of other stories that it would help to illustrate certain things, but I trust that you've heard my heart and my encouragement to just keep your heart and your mind focused on the Lord. Again, people throughout the history of time have sought and sought and sought and sought for fulfillment and pleasure and escape from their troubles. You can't escape from your troubles. There is no escape. You try to escape from your troubles with human wisdom, you get deeper into trouble. Let me say that again. You try to escape from your troubles with human wisdom, you get deeper into trouble. And I could tell you some stories about that too. Some of my experiences. The only place to turn in time of trouble is to the Lord Jesus. And what does he say? Peace, be still. Let's pray. Father, we bow before you at this moment, thanking you for the truth of your word, thanking you for the promises, the exceeding great and precious promises that you give to us in your word. Thank you that Jesus is meek and lowly in heart, that Jesus would be willing to do all things that please you, be willing to go to the cross and give his life to die a cruel, agonizing, humiliating death for me. Father, I thank you for each person in this auditorium this evening, especially the young people. I pray that you would bless them, Father. Reveal yourself to them, the glory that is the Lord Jesus. Reveal your glory to their hearts. And lift up each one of our hearts in love and worship and devotion to you, for you are worthy. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.